Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Evangelism is when a Christian goes around proclaiming and preaching about Jesus Christ, and church planting is staying permanently and creating a base for the people you have evangelized to gather in. In our Tuesday teaching, Bishop Dag will reveal the importance of both evangelism and church planting and why both are an essential part of every ministry. Successful church planting demands skill, and today's message will analyze the key components of how to plant a church and how to evangelize effectively. Be encouraged by today's word to become a minister who makes church planting and evangelism the vision for their life.
Today I am preaching about the general theme I started last week, which is I know thy works. All right, and last week I spoke about leadership international. This week I am speaking about church planting and evangelism. Now, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. It says, I know thy works. Is that not so? And thy labor and thy patience. Revelation chapter 2 verse 9. This is the message to all the different churches. The first one is, I know thy works. God says to every single church, I know thy works. Amen. This is what the Lord said to every single one of his churches. I know thy works. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 verse 9. I know thy works. Revelation chapter 2 verse 12, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works. Have you got that? Revelation chapter 2 verse 19 or verse 18, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Verse 19, let's all say together, I know thy works. Revelation chapter 3, the fifth church or fourth church. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he which hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse 8, and I know thy works. Again, every single church is told the same thing. The last church, Laodicea, all right, it says, and unto the angel of the church in of the Laodiceans, write, these things say, the Amen, the faithful, the true, the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know thy works. Every single church is told, I know thy works, as the first statement. Why? Because God created us to do his good works. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to give you a background before we move on deeper today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and to good cars and houses, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and to good cars, and to good houses, and to good what? Works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Some years ago, I was in London, and I took a taxi somewhere. And as I was going along, I asked the taxi driver whether he believed in God. And he sort of laughed and he said he did not believe. And then I said to him, don't you believe in heaven and hell? And he said he did not. And he asked me whether I believed in such a thing as heaven. And I said, I did. Certainly, I did believe heaven was a real place. Hell was a real place. Then he laughed and found it very funny. And he said, is heaven a good place? I said, it's a very good place. Then he asked me a question, which I think is a very good question. Very interesting question. He said, if heaven is a good place, better than here, then all of you who believe that there is heaven, why don't you kill yourselves and just go to heaven? Because it's a better place than here. And you don't owe anybody when you are there. You don't have any problems. You don't need anything. Because it's a great place. And I thought about it for some time. And I said, wow, that's a good question. If heaven is really better than here, how many have had some problems on earth since you came to earth? Raise up your right hand. Everybody has had some problems. The longer you live, the more problems you've seen. The guy who wrote that song, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. He must have been around for some time. It's little children who don't know what's happening in the world. They don't even know. When my father died some years ago, my little children, they didn't even know what was going on. We didn't even bring them to the funeral. They just continue playing. Life goes on. They don't understand what is going on. They don't know about the troubles in life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? However, as you grow older, you see all sorts of things. You need money. You need a job. You need work. You need contract. You need happiness. You need peace. You need a husband. You need a wife. And when you have a husband, you want a different husband. You want a husband to change. Because you have a wife, you want a different kind of wife. You wish you hadn't taken that wife. You had another kind of wife. Oh, man. All kinds of problems. So God knows all these problems. And so this gentleman asked me, since there are no problems in heaven, why don't we go straight to heaven? And the answer is, really, if it's true, it makes sense. How many agree that it makes sense? I mean, if there's a better place, just get a passport, visa, go. But the answer is right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Then he says, not of works, lest any man should boast, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were not just created so that we will be good people, but we were created to do certain good works whilst we are alive. And those good works are before ordained. In other words, God has already determined the works that we are supposed to do. So actually, what I am doing, I am just doing things that God has already prepared for me to walk in them. Because the truth is that nobody can do anything for God. You just sort of operate within his blessing that he has provided for you. Even his work is like that. You don't really do anything. You just sort of flow. You get what I'm saying? You just sort of flow in God. And as you flow in obedience, his work gets done. As soon as you step out of obedience, you stop working for him. So, these good works are ordained that we should walk before him in them. And one day, when you and I stand before him, God is going to ask questions. He's going to ask. He's going to say, I know thy works. Lighthouse Chapel, I know thy works. I know. I know your works. I know your works. And to some, he may say, I know thy nothing. I know thy nothing. And then he goes on. So the point I want you to understand today is that God is expecting us to work certain works. And if you die without those works, you'll be a fool on the day of your death. It's better to be a wise man in the day that you die. Oh yeah. Don't be a fool. Don't be like the rich young fool who thought life was all just on earth. And when he died, you know, when he was planning various things, and the Lord said, look, thou fool, tonight I require thy soul, tonight. And that very night, the Lord called him up. He had all sorts of plans for earth. But God knows the day that he's going to call you and make you give account for whatever he has asked you to do. Nobody knows, but God knows that day. Now, as a church, Collectively, I'm your leader. I'm your pastor. So I am leading you to do good works. And God has before ordained that you should come to this church. God has brought you here. God has brought you under this banner. We are not the best church. We are just one of the churches that is trying to do something. And God has brought you here. He can't take you everywhere. He has to take you somewhere. So this is where you found yourself. And now that you are here, you've got to get involved with the works that we are being involved in. And last week, I shared with you that we are being involved with a good work called Leadership International, which is a ministry to young people in secondary schools or young people. And we call it Leadership International because it is not a very, not offensive, but it doesn't frighten, you know, school authorities. When you say leadership, they sort of, but when you say so-and-so spiritual church, immediately they become a bit scared of you and they say, oh, no, we don't want any more spiritual churches here. But leadership, we want leaders. So we call it Leadership International. We could have called it anything else, but it's just a name, all right? The name, you see, there are two ways to have to deal with the name. Either the name, you give meaning to a name, or you take a name which has a meaning already. So you get a name and you can give it meaning. Amen. So with time, everybody's going to know when you say Eli, they will know that it's a very spiritual, powerful ministry that does scripture and shares the word of God with young people. Now, we want to move on to the next area, which is evangelism and church planting. Now, I have made a covenant with the Lord to plant 1,000 churches in Ghana. That is apart from the outside churches that we have. We want to believe God to have 1,000. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 40. Some of you are worried that I'll go to 1,000. 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, churches, 68, 69, 70, 71, churches, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, churches, 78, 79, 80, 81 churches, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90 churches, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99 churches, 100, 101, 102. And counting, and counting, and still counting more. Not members, churches. We will do it by the grace of God. One day we will arrive in heaven and we'll all stand. Yes, Lord. Lighthouse, step forward. They say, I know thy works, that thou planted those churches all over in all those villages and all those towns. But this and that and that and that. We pray that the battle will not cancel them. We pray for mercy. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. So that's why we must be showing mercy. So that in the day of judgment, we'll have judgment with mercy. Now, is it important to plant churches? Is it the Great Commission? You see, evangelism is different from church planting. What is evangelism? Now, when it comes to evangelism, we are also going into evangelism. Why am I sharing with you? Because you are the church. We are the people doing the thing. It is you and me, all of us together. Now, evangelism is going around proclaiming the name of Christ, Jesus, as the Savior, as the Lord, as the Master. Now, church planting is staying longer with the people, stay permanently with the people that you are evangelizing. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Now, you see, Ghana and Africa generally, I remember recently I was flying into Malawi. And as I flew, I was looking out of the window and I was looking at little villages and huts. You know, the same type of huts that we have with thatched roof all over the place. Small, 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 small. And you see, I read once from a Newsweek or Time magazine that Africa is made up of many, many small communities and villages scattered all over. They were talking about the soil of Africa, and they were talking about the population, you know, and how it's made up of many, many little tribes scattered all over the place. So when you are dealing with Africa, you cannot just go to a big city and say, I'm dealing with the city. Because the city is not the country. And it is always shown more clearly whenever we have an election. Elections are not won in Accra. Elections are not won in Kumasi. Although Bantama can give us 100,000 and Accra can give us a couple of millions, the real winning of the election is done out there in those places. Far. Not even so far, but even just near Accra. There are many, 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 many little towns and communities that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lighthouse, we are going to go and preach and establish it. Now, evangelism is going around and speaking to the people. So you stand on a crusade platform and you speak and you say, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come and die. You make your voice, you have to, if you're an evangelist, you have to make your voice in a certain way for people to listen. God sent his son to come and die for you. Tonight is your night. If you want Jesus to come into your life, to be born again, so that one day your name will be written in heaven, in the book of life, lift up your hand and come to the front, and you proclaim Jesus Christ. But when you finish the crusade, you go home. Now, even crusades, thank God for Reinhard Bonnke. Thank God for T.L. Osborne. Thank God for Yonggi Cho. But my brother, just a few kilometers away from here are thousands and thousands of people who don't come to these crusades. You see, and we as a church have a responsibility to go to the forgotten ones, to go to the hidden ones, to go to the people who Christ died for and take the gospel to them. We must witness. You see, that song, he said there are so many jobs in God's vineyard, so many jobs in God's vineyard for all of us to do. We must witness. We must tell the world of the soon and come. It's not just a song. It's a real thing that we are supposed to do. We must rise up as a church. If we don't rise up as a church, something will rise from the midst of us and scatter us into the world. And we must go to the lost. And we must go to the people. And we must give our lives and we must sacrifice for them to hear about God and to hear about Christ. Enough of the parties. Enough of the having happy times amongst ourselves in the cities, and we are just becoming a mega church and just happy amongst ourselves. When there are people just here, I'll take you just 15 minutes from the barrier and you will see people who don't know anything about Jesus Christ. As we continue to sing, Muslims are building mosques for them and making clinics for them to understand that Muhammad is the way. As we continue in our parties, and as we continue, because now we are so big that we cannot do certain things for God. We are now beyond, because God has before ordained that we should walk in the latest cars and the latest houses and the latest suits and the latest clothes and the latest dresses. These are our call. Pastors have now, we have been forced by the pressure of the people to start preaching about cars and houses to make people rich. Because that's what people want to hear. When you start saying, I see God giving you a new sitting room with marble on the floor, then you see the people begin to rise up from the seat. Pastor, there's an anointing flow. I can feel the power. But you let me start talking about what I'm talking about. Everybody looks at me as though I'm some fanatic. Some crazy guy who's talking about some impossible things that are supposed to be for some diehard zealots, people who don't have husbands and people who don't have a future and people who are destitute of all kinds of future possessions and blessings. But just around Accra, there are places that we are going to go. You will go. I'll make you go. Stay around long enough, I'll make you go. You'll be surprised. You one day you'll be preaching. Say, hey, this man has made me come here. I preach to you till you go. One brother in the second service choir, I called him. I said, Willie, you know, Rory, you guys, I'm tired of seeing you in the church. Like, go. And I drove them out of the church to go and start a church. This morning they are preaching in Latin. We have a church in Latte. Do you know where Latte is? Do you know Latte? You are a Ghanaian? You don't know Latte? You know where Latte is? Huh?
No.
You know, have you heard of Latte?
Yes.
But you don't know where it is. It's somewhere. Are you a Ghan?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Ghans don't travel, eh? And you know Latte? You don't know Latte? Do you know Nyanya no? You say what?
I don't know it.
You don't know it. But it's a place. And there are souls. And this morning, somebody has gone from this church. At his own expense, he's gone to Latte. He's organized the people. Last time I asked him, how is it going? He said, oh, Bishop, Sunday morning, we have about 40 people. Just sitting there and preach to them. And you know, I've been preaching to these guys every week. They listen to me preaching. Bishop, man, that's a good man, powerful. Glory to God. Hey, you are a man of God. Hey, I don't need any man of God. You are anything. I'm nothing. You go and start to do the work also. And you'll find out that is something. I don't need to be more famous. It's not nice to be famous. It's difficult to be famous. When you are famous, you can't do so many things. You can't. When you go out, everybody. He's the one. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Have you met Rollins at a restaurant before? It's not easy to meet him at a restaurant. Everywhere he goes, hey! Rollins. He can't go anywhere because he's famous. It's not as nice as you think to be famous. Let's rather do the work of God. God is not about making people famous. God is about doing his work. There are so many jobs. There are towns around Accra. Just around Accra. More than 500 places. When I was sitting there, I had a vision, and the Lord showed me that time will come when people will go from Accra to Suhum and around Suhum to preach on Sunday and come back every Sunday morning from this church. I believe it will happen. As far as Suhum. As far, because Suhum, I've lived in Suhum before. I've lived in Suhum before. It's no more than 1 hour from here. Anywhere that is not. I know we have pastors in our church who travel 3 hours every Sunday. 3 hours. They travel more than 250 kilometers every Sunday to preach. More than 250 kilometers every Sunday. They travel 3 hours traveling. And they've been doing it for years. And you see the church that is there. We can do it. Because that is... And who is going to do it? And Master, these people that you are training in the Bible schools, they are the very best people that... When I put two and two together, I think those are the people that you are preaching to. Perhaps you should reservation your sermon for those people. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, quickly, please. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, When for the time. I want you to find Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to find chapter 5 of Hebrews. Hebrews is in the Old Testament, just after Malachi. Is it there? It's in the New Testament. Okay. After Revelations. Hebrews chapter 5. Have you found it? Page 1275. Have you got it? For when for the time you ought to be what?
Teachers.
You have need that one teach you again. Teach you what? Again. Many of us here have reached the time when we ought to become teachers. Sunday morning must not find you listening to message sermons. Sunday morning must find you giving a sermon. Preaching on Sunday morning. Come to church on Tuesday. You go and preach on Sunday. And God wants us to go around and preach the gospel to all the towns. Who do you think is going to come? A white man? An American missionary? Forget it. Forget it. Look, America has enough, many, many souls. The days of Americans coming here to come and establish churches and so on, it's not that it's not a good thing. It's a very good thing. They have brought many of these great churches to us. But they are just practically, I don't see them coming anymore. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's up to us. It's our turn. When the baton has been handed over to you, you can't say that the one before should come and run again. It's your turn. You have to run. The gospel has been brought to us. We must go and witness and preach to everyone that is lost. that needs to know about Jesus Christ. So we are going to go church planting. If we don't go church planting, something will come from the middle of us and spread us. Don't take my word lightly. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. Now let's begin church planting. Now there were. Now this is a good church, Antioch. The first church was in Jerusalem. When we get to heaven, we'll ask God which church was a better church, the church in Jerusalem or the church in Antioch. I said, when we get to heaven, we'll ask the Lord, which one was a better church, Antioch church or Jerusalem church? Antioch was the most, probably the most important church in the whole of the New Testament. It's surprising that no letter was written to the church in Antioch. Did you know that? Where is Antioch today? Antioch is in Syria. You see, you have Jerusalem here, and then you have Antioch. Now, what happened was that some disciples came from Cyprus and Cyrene, and they went to Antioch, and then they started a church there. And there was a lot of salvation. So, are you listening to me? There was a lot of blessing in Antioch. Then they sent a message back to Jerusalem, which was the main place at that time. And they said, Jerusalem, God is doing something in Antioch. Send somebody to us. So, Jerusalem church sent Barnabas. Have you heard of Barnabas? Do you know Barnabas? They sent a brother called Barnabas to come from Jerusalem, like where we are, to Antioch, to travel, to come to Antioch. So he came. When he came, he found that the work was really going on well. All this is in the book of Acts. And then he encouraged the church. And after a while, when he was there, he said, you know, I know somebody who will be very good to have around in this church. So he felt that there was somebody he should call to come and be in the church and be with the church, and that he would really help the church in Antioch. So he decided to go and call an old friend that he knew called Saul, Paul. So he went and he brought Paul to Antioch. So Paul too came and joined Barnabas, and they were all in Antioch. You know, the Jerusalem people, they were not too keen on going out. They were not too keen on going beyond Jews. They were not too keen on certain things. So Paul even would not have flourished in his ministry if he had gone to Jerusalem. He wouldn't have done well there. Because Jerusalem, they waited until they were persecuted so much before they went out. But Antioch, there was a different kind of spirit there. So Paul was attracted, and Barnabas went to call Paul and said, come and be with us in Antioch. So in Antioch, Paul came along and they were there together. And one day in Acts chapter 13, they were having a prayer meeting. Amen. And they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, you see, these people were having prayer meetings where there could be a prophecy. And the prophecy said, let these people do the work which I have called them to do. Don't keep them back anymore. Release the people. Let them work. Let them run for me. Let them start churches. Let them go. Let them go out of the church. They've stayed in the church for a long time. They've stayed around for a long time. And the word of the Lord came, let them go. Send them out. Send them out. Let them go. Verse 3. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So they being sent for by the Holy Ghost, departed unto where? Seleucia. What is Seleucia? And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Verse 5. And then when they were at Salamis, they preached the word in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister. John was one of the brothers in the system. And when they had gone through, so they preached everybody right on the places that they went to. They went to Seleucia, then they went to Cyprus, then when they got to Salamis, you know, that's the third place they were preaching now in Salamis. And when they had gone through the isle, they went through the whole isle, they went to Paphos, and they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew. His name was Bar Jesus, which was the deputy of the guard of the country, Sergius Paulus. A prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from their faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "Oh, full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the Lord, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Amen. How many want to see signs and wonders? You've got to go to Paphos, go to Seleucia, and to go to all those places. You've got to go to Salamis. You've got to go to the places around us. Unless we go, we are not going to see some of these things. Some of us read the Bible and we say, the Bible was full of miracles. When we come to church, we don't see any power. We don't see any miracle. They didn't see any power themselves when they were in Antioch. It was when they moved out. Then they started to see signs and wonders. The things you read in Acts are things they saw on the move. Amen. God wants us to get on the move. Let's go on. Verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch, another Antioch in Syria, and went into the synagogue. And they preached powerfully. A long sermon. All right, verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Amen. Reverend Steve Mensah, he tells me, he says, some of the villages I go to, he says, the whole town comes. The whole town. He says, sometimes, because there's no light. So when you have light, everybody comes there. And they preach the gospel to Seleucia, to Paphos, to Perga, to Salamis. What are these places? What are the towns in Ghana? On Tuesday, I think I was reading out some of the names of the places. All these places are around us. Like the Antioch church, we must rise up and send people to the work which they have been separated onto. We must say, go, 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 go. It must not look strange to us. We must usher them and say, go, go, you can do, you can do, you can do, you can do, go. That's Antioch. Antioch sent people. Jerusalem church waited till they had a war, a civil war, or what kind of problem before they were scattered. Do you know that there are many Ghanaian churches all over the world? If you go to Israel, there are a lot of churches. Germany, Holland. There were 53 Ghanaian churches in Amsterdam once. I don't know how many there are now. You know how those missionaries got there? You know what they did to get there? We had economic difficulties in Ghana. That drove us out to those people. We didn't say, let us go and evangelize Holland. Let's go and evangelize Israel. Let's go and evangelize Germany. No, no, no. We had financial difficulties. And when we had financial difficulties, we were forced out. And so today there are churches all over because we were forced to go to these places. Do we want to be forced again? Because we are very anointed, though. Like, let me tell you, many of us sitting here, you know more. You Sunday morning should not, unless something should not find you sitting there receiving more messages. You can preach. You can teach. You've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's time to go. It's time to give. It's time for us to plant churches all over. And on a Sunday, I believe a time is going to come where many of you, Sunday morning, instead of coming here, you'll be driving or you'll be taking a car from here to here. My little daughter, Sophia, she takes a car from here to here to Tema Station, from Tema Station to whatever, to all the way to Ekropon. Then she preaches there. Today, this morning, they are there preaching. Ladies, preaching. There's the only men in the church when you go to a Cropon, two ladies preaching. And all over, people are just preaching. And there are people to hear. Oh, now, it sounds strange in the church today because it's not being preached. Because we pastors, we are preaching, you know, prosperity. God is giving this, God is giving that. God, that is all that we want to hear. Itching ears. And the pastors are afraid not to preach it. Otherwise, the members will reduce. But I'm not afraid to preach what I'm preaching. I'm going to preach it and preach it because I know if you look carefully at us, you find out that we are one of the most blessed churches. Oh, yeah. It's part of the fact that this is what we keep on preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. They know it, and even the pastors in town know it. They know we are highly blessed. We can't talk about all our blessings. Ah, these are our main topics. We've been preaching it for years, and this is what we want. The reason why I fell in love with Reverend Saki many years ago, because I heard him talking about how he wants to go to villages and towns and be preaching, and I heard him saying it, and I said, oh, but this is also what I want to do, because that's what I like. That's what I believe. That's where the souls are. And that is our work. That is our calling. That is the work of a church, to go, to send them, to send people. Even if you are not here on Sunday, I prefer. I thank God for those people out there. You know, they were telling her, how much offering did they take on? What's the place? Latin. 4,000 cedis. Two offerings. You get 4,000 cedis. Two offerings and 7,000. One was 4,000. One was 7,000 for the two offerings. Is it money? Are we doing? No, we are. It's the souls. The people there, they don't have anything. But perhaps now you are too big. Because God has blessed you so much. Eh? Your nice dress and your nice shoes. Your nice shoes will become dusty. You can't go to such a place because you can't even speak the language. You are asking me whether, you know, you can't preach in tree because you don't know the tree direct. Because you could speak it when you were growing up, but you don't know how to preach with it. Indeed. 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 If I called you out and I said, I want to give you a job as a tree spy in Germany. You have to speak tree and you're going to be a spy and you're going to work for whatever and you're going to earn 5,000. You will immediately tell me that. You will immediately say, hey, Bishop, the tree has come. I think I can speak tree now by the grace of God. No, but we'll say that it's all basically Bible and other things that, because most of the people are church people, say, oh, it's not a problem at all. I can. Or I want you to be a gun spy. You speak gun, you're going to use the gun. Suddenly, your gun abilities will come forth. But go and preach. Then you'll be looking. God wants us to go and to go and to go and to establish churches. Now, when we go and evangelize, the people afterwards need a church. They need a pastor to keep preaching to them. How many realize that when you have a pastor who keeps preaching to you, it's different from when you just hear one message? How many realize there's a difference since you joined the church? That means you have to raise your hand the way I came to your corner. It's different when you have a pastor. And God wants us to have pastors. And he wants the people to have pastors. We are going for crusades. Another thing that we are engaging now is we are going on a new kind of crusade. I remember last time I raised some money for buses. We are going in tents and from town to town. But this one is not to plant churches, to evangelize. When we get to the town, we set up our own tents, our own water, our own toilets, our own everything. And we'll stay there just like soldiers. And we'll evangelize each house. We'll go around to all the communities. And then we'll have a crusade in the evening and preach to them. And evangelize them. And after 2 days, 3 days, we pack our things and we go. But that's not a church. And for that, we need a lot of people and we need buses. And you've got to help us to get the buses. We are going to get the buses. And we are going to go to the towns. But that's not a church. After that, they still need a church. They still need a pastor. Who are going to be the pastors? Who, me? No, I'm at Jerusalem. I'm preaching to you to go. I'm at Antioch. In fact, I prefer Antioch. This is Antioch. I'm preaching and I'm sending people. Look, they sent Paul. Paul them, they came back. They went in chapter 13. They came back in chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 26, they were back. Then they went again in chapter 15. And they went round and round and round and they came back. And when they came back again, Paul said, let's go back again. And he went for a third time. Far long journeys to different towns. Every time they'll go by the river and they'll meet somebody, Lydia, a seller of purple, and they will talk to her. And they'll say, you know about Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus. They met a jailer. Sometimes they will be arrested. And whilst they're in prison, they'll, Paul and Silas will be singing. You remember all those songs? It's from church planting. It's from church planting. It's from going to places. Paul said, let's go back to all the places where we went and establish the churches. By the time they were coming back in chapter 40, they ordained elders in all the places. That's not evangelism. That is starting a church. We've got to go around and start churches everywhere. I don't believe John Wesley even knew the extent to which his church was going to spread. John Wesley, the Methodist church. You go to Buzra Beach. Just before you get to the beach, you see a Methodist church. Far in the western region. Go to Nyanyano. You see a Methodist church there. All over. They've planted the churches everywhere. Many of these churches are empty. It's time for us to go. And we are going to go. If you are in this church and I'm your pastor, this is the way we are. Our church is a church planting church. And the people who are going to plant the church are the young men and the young ladies. And the old men and the old ladies. And the middle-aged men and the middle-aged ladies. Have I left anybody out? And the children. From next year, I'm going to send the children on evangelism. Well, I'm going to send them out. I'll let them from around this age, 10, 11, the age where they play, where they understand. You see, the young children, they understand even kissing. When I hold my wife, they say, hey! They'll be doing funny things in the house. And what do they know? What do they know? What do they understand? They know something. Major, doesn't your daughter know something? She knows a lot. They can witness. From next year, we are going on evangelism. Children are going to go on evangelism. You'll keep your children in your house, teaching your child to play piano and having piano lessons and violin lessons and all kinds of lessons, except to do the work of God. You want your child to be some classical kind of a diplomatic child, but you don't want your child to know God. You'll carry on. One day when the monster comes back to you, you say that, why don't you go to church? Why don't you go? And you'll be calling us to pray for the child. You wouldn't send your child to go and learn how to do the work of God. I'm going to send my children. We're going to send them on camp. Pastor Ko is doing a great job with those children upstairs. They are wild. They preach. Sometimes they preach on Sunday morning. You should see them. Preach on Sunday morning. They lead worship. They play piano. My children play piano. They sing. They lead worship. Even preaching is great. I'm going to send them out on missions and on camps. Major, what do you think? Is it a good idea? Powerful. Harold, don't you want your children to go out? Got four of them. They should go out there preaching. They will do it. I learned it from Billy Joe Doughty. He said, look, they send their children even to Ghana, in the north of Ghana, from America. They've come here to do evangelism on missions like a holiday. Instead of letting your children become kind of some kind of funny children, always watching things on TV and learning all sorts of things at the age of 10. They are having sex when they are 11 years old. They are smoking when they are 10. Come on! Let's wake up, oh. Let's wake up. Don't complain about any Muslims. Don't complain about Osama bin Laden. Don't complain about the Taliban. People have done their work. Perhaps that place is too cold and too far for the missionaries of today. Perhaps it's too far. When somebody is going, you say the person is too extreme. Oh, come on. These things are too many. Oh, we are tired. There's too much now. Relax. Be normal. When I preach that, the whole church becomes quiet like icy cold, as if I was a madman talking. One of my pastors, he told me he was preaching. He was preaching about eternity and about true riches. He said after the preaching, he felt like a fool in the church. He felt like he was crazy. It was like some strange person talking about stupid things. Antioch. They went. They came. They went. They came from town to town to town. There wasn't any major crusade he was going. He stood by the river. He talked to the people. He talked to anyone. We can do it. We can do it. We don't need an organ. We don't need a microphone. Do you think they have microphone? When was microphone invented, Johnny? Just a few years ago. We need an organ. We need a pulpit. You need nothing. You need a tree. Stand under a tree and preach. There's a tree in the town. You be a pastor. And nobody has to call you pastor. It's not the post. It's the job. You know, nobody appointed me to be a pastor. I've never been appointed by anyone to be a pastor. Imagine that. And neither have I been appointed by anyone to be a bishop. I announced, one day I came to a church, I said, from today I'm no more Brother Dag, I am Pastor Dag. It sounded strange. But that's it. One day I came to a church, I said, I'm no more Pastor Dag, I'm Bishop Dag. That's all. It's as if nobody will say, who are you? Say, I am. It's time. I said, it's time. Now, Pastor, how are we going to do this thing that you are saying? We are going to have night schools. Tonight, we are having another night school, 7 o'clock tonight. I'm training you. Come, if you are not a pastor, you are not a shepherd, you are nothing. Say, Bishop, you are preaching, you know? I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my soul. I feel it in my bones. I must do something. I must get involved. I must be one of the people who goes on Sunday morning, all as far as Suhum, as Suboy, Ayimensa, all those places, Kusongoro, any place. You see a lighthouse person standing under a tree with a congregation there. 3 benches, 4 benches. He's opening his Bible. Okay, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Then you'll be preaching to them, sharing the word of God. Okay, now turn to Revelations. Turn to Timothy. Okay, turn to Corinthians. Okay, turn to Acts. They're working for God. Everywhere, thousands everywhere. It will happen. Keep watching, it will happen. I said, we are going into 1,000 churches everywhere. Now listen, if you have 40 souls and 40 and 30 and 40 and 20 and 40 and 30 times 200 people, how much is that? Thousands. That's the real winning of the elections. Not for politics. There's no difference between DDT and the mosquito insecticide. It's the same. Don't bother to even, it's the same. There's no difference. It's like Shell Talks and Goyle Talks. MPP and NDC. It's the same spray. The same. All don't kill mosquitoes after some time. See that you are spraying, the mosquitoes are still bad. How many have sprayed Shell Talks, mosquitoes still beat you? Ah. We must witness. Where is he? Come and sing that song for me again. What's his name? Reginald. Come and sing that song again. Listen to the words. Listen to the words. There are so many jobs in God's vineyard for all of us to do. We will do it. One day he will stand and say, I know thy works. You tried. It wasn't easy. Somebody said, it's too hard. Stanley, I'm used to resting. You're used to resting. I wish one day I can take you with me to Ekropong. I just want to show you the blackboard outside the little church in that Ekropong teacher training college. And you see the names of the people. I went there myself because I heard about it. I went to visit Sakina. She said, Bishop, you want to see that? But I said, I want to see. Take me there. She took me there. You see the name. Hans so-and-so. Mr. so-and-so. So-and-so. All the names that arrived this day. Die. Arrived. Die. 6 months. 3 months. 2 months. They came from Switzerland. Why there was no email, no fax? Nobody said it's too hard. They died here. You can't get up on a Sunday morning. You can't come for night school. Hey, Bishop, this night school is a bit extreme, you know. We are very tired on Sunday evenings. And what are you talking about? That we should come where? To do what? Because you are so beautiful now. Oh, yeah. Look at them. Sweet. Choir. Nice. Advertisements. We must witness. And we will witness. You are not too nice to do the work of God. The work of God will make you nicer. Sing for me, please.
We must work. We.
Sing it.
We. We must work.
We must work. Wow.
While it is day. We need
to His will.
His will.
Spreading the word of God.
The word of God. Till it reaches to every nation.
Till it reaches to everyone.
We must witness to everyone we meet. In every song we sing. We must tell them of the soon.
We must tell them of the soon and coming King. Sing it, brother. Sing it for us.
The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are so many jobs in God's vineyard for all of us to do.
Sing it.
We must witness to everyone we meet, and in every song we sing, we must tell them of the soon coming King.
Sing it again. Sing it again one more time. Sing it again.
The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are so many jobs in God's vineyard for all of us to do.
Oh.
We must witness to everyone we meet, and in every song we sing, we must tell the world of the soon coming King.
Sing it now. We must witness.
We must work.
We must work.
We must work
while it is day.
Hallelujah. We must witness. There's work for us to do. And so, I remember when Dr. Yonggi Cho dedicated this place, I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, what next? We have done so many things. I mean, I've written more books than I know anybody around me who's writing books. I've started more churches than anybody I know around. We have into so many things. Evangelism, tracts, what have you. Missions to different countries. And then the Lord impressed on me, plant more churches. Plant more churches. Spread. 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 Train them. Train them and send them. Thousands of churches, send them, not members. Look for churches now. Churches, send them. That's the real way. Don't look at anybody. Don't look at human approval. Don't look at what impresses people, what people are impressed about. Do what is right. We are going into it. You may wonder what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about planting churches, something that is in the book of Acts. We will do it. We will do it. And I tell you, when you get involved with the work of God, you don't easily fall into sin. It's more difficult to fall into, because you are not in environments to fall. You are in an environment where the work of God is being done. Father, thank you for helping us to do what we must do. In Jesus' name. Shall we stand to our feet for a moment, please? As we close this service. Lift up your hands to the Lord and just give yourself to Him in whatever way. Maybe through your own self, learning to teach and to preach. As we go through the night schools and other forms of training programs and whatever, through your finances, through your health, any way that we can do. What else is there to do? There are 1,000 more churches to spend our lives and time and energy planting and building. God help us. Just lift your hand and say, Lord, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me, please. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands and my feet, Lord. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything,
if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Sing it again, if you can use anything, Lord.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Use me, Jesus, Jesus, yeah.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Take my hands and my feet, Lord.
Touch my heart, Lord, speak.
Speak through me, Lord, if you can use.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Sing it again for the last time. If you can use anything, Lord, please. Give ourselves as a church, because we know one day we will hear you say, I know thy works. We know it will happen as sure as the sun rises and sun sets, as sure as day is followed by night and night is followed by day, as sure as there is cold and hot and summer and winter, that those words will be heard one day. I know thy works. Lord, we pray for ourselves today. Help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, we pray. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to be born again today, maybe somebody invited you to church. You're listening to the word of God. Pastor, I don't know Jesus. This Jesus, you want to go and preach? If I die today or tomorrow, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please, you know, pray with me before we close, because I want to know Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I want to take Jesus as my Savior. If you are here like that, I want to pray desperately with you before we close. Raise up your right hand quickly, wherever you are. Thank you. Raise it up high. I see your hand. Lift it up quickly, because this is a very important time. Pastor, pray with me. You know, I know that if something happens on my way home, well, if I die today or tomorrow, I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell. Lift it up high. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand, I want you to come quickly from upstairs, from the front. Just come to me here, and I'm going to pray with you right now. God bless you. Come, take your bag, whatever you came with. Come from the back, come from wherever you are, very quickly. God bless you.
To him, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Quickly, please. All right, let me just pray quickly. Say this prayer. Are you coming? Quickly, please. Come. All right. Those coming from upstairs, just quickly. Our time is running up. Father, say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I realize that I am a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Today I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Master. Please wash me in your blood. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, Lord, I receive Christ. I repent, Lord. I turn away from my sins. I decide to follow Jesus. Thank you, Father. From this moment, I'm born again and I follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.